Turn to John 17. We're going to be in John 17. Now, the first thing we want to say is this is the culmination of the upper room encounter. It started at the latter half of John 13, as you know, and he started speaking these words that only one writer caught, which is John, after Judas left the room. Jesus didn't say any of these words until Judas left the room. And once he left the room, John laid his head upon the chest of the Lord, and he caught the heartbeat of God. He's the only writer that captured these words, as we know. We've been in this for months now. He began to speak, and he gave some incredible, incredible mysteries, as we're finding out. In John 13, especially 14, 15, 16, and 17, the whole mystery of the Father, the mystery of his mantle, the mystery of union, oneness, all of it's encapsulated in these chapters when we're able to extract the revelation that's in it by the Holy Spirit. Now, John 17 is different than the rest of it because all of John 17, the whole chapter, is a prayer. It's a prayer. He starts praying. He was giving them revelations, and then he starts to pray. And this is one of the final prayers. It is the final prayer that he prayed, except when he prayed on the cross, forgive them. They don't know what they do. But this was his final prayer. And he prayed this over his disciples. And not only did he include them, he included you in the prayer. So without a question, not only what we're going to talk about tonight is the Lord's will, he actually prayed it. And he prayed it on your behalf before he left the earth. Amen. So I want you to look at this prayer tonight. If you want to see what the Lord, how he prayed, it's all here. I mean, he laid it out. Amen. He wasn't talking to them at this point. John 14 and 15 and 16, he was talking to them. John 17, he's talking to the Father. Amen. He was praying on the behalf of those 11, and he's also praying on your behalf. And so everything that was prayed belongs to you. Amen. And we'll see that specifically as we go in here. In fact, if you want to look at verse 20, John 17, verse 20, it says, neither pray for these alone. Neither do I pray for these alone. He's praying to his Father. He says, I'm not just praying for these 11 that's in this room, but for them also that will believe on me through their word. So 2,000 years later, you have a Bible in your hand. They wrote that under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. You believed in God through a preacher, but that preacher preached their words. So he's praying for you too. Amen. Says, I'm praying for those that shall believe on me through their word. Everyone say, that's me. So you can just put yourself up in the upper room. Amen. Just set yourself up in the upper room because this belongs to you. This whole prayer belongs to you. Amen. So I'm not going to get into every single verse, but I'm going to get into some very pertinent verses and of what he prayed for us. Because once you understand what he's praying, you understand the will of God, then you'll understand the heartbeat of the Lord. I mean, God, the Lord didn't just arbitrarily choose to pray this. He knew what he was praying. It was his final prayer. It was his final will. And he prayed it to his Father, and then he was taken. Amen? So, if you look at verse 1, now he prayed in the garden. I understand that he was praying to his Father because he knew the cross was coming, and he knew what was happening. He was praying for grace. But this was praying for you and me. Amen. Well, look at verse 1. He says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. When you see him lifting up his eyes to heaven, that means he's getting in position. See, he's positioning with the Father. He's positioning. He doesn't just look up. He's getting position because Jesus prayed in the presence of his Father. And he said, Father, the hour has come. I mean, this is the last night on planet Earth, right here. The hour has come, Father. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Now, we've discovered the mystery of that verse, and we understood what that meant. Now, he said, in fact, he'll explain that. If you look at verse 5, you'll understand what he's saying in verse 1. He says, "And thou, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." He's praying. He says, "I'm leaving the earth. My days, my ministry's over. And I'm going to go by way of the cross, but bring me back to where I was with you, Father, from the beginning. Glorify thee, glorify me with thine own self. Reclothe me, reposition me, bring me back to be seated at your right hand. With the glory that I had with you for all eternity, bring me back to that place." Now, that's what he meant in verse 1 when he said, "Glorify the Son." He says, "Bring me back into where I was from the beginning. Clothe me again. Bring me back into the right hand." As we know by Hebrews, even Anna had said that tonight, that he sat down at the right hand. He was the appointed heir of the Father, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Amen. So notice what he says in verse 1. He says, "Glorify thou me, Father. Bring me back to where I was, that I may then glorify you." Now, what he meant by that was he was praying this on the behalf of the world. He says, "Father, if you bring me back to my position, then I will bring the world to you. I will be the door. I will be the gate of salvation, but I will also be the door to bring them, and I will glorify." Now, this is a great promise for all of you, for all of us. This is a promise here, and it's prayed in a prayer that he, the Lord Jesus, will glorify the Father to you. He said, "Father, if you bring me back, and I'll sit at the right hand, and I'll ever live to make intercession for your people, then I will bring all men to where I am." Because that was the whole thrust of John 14, 15, 16, 17. He says, "Where I am, there shall you be also. And I'll bring them to where I am, and then I will glorify you to them." And that's what's happening. That's what happens when you go in there. And you go before the Lord, and he brings you before the Father, and he begins to reveal. In fact, in John, I think it was 16, he goes, "Hitherto I've spoken to you in Proverbs." I'm just giving you Proverbs, hidden sayings. "But the day cometh where I will openly reveal the Father to you." I won't just speak these words. I will actively, openly reveal the Father. And that's what he meant. "I will glorify the Father." Amen. So that's what he was praying. "Father, glorify the Son that he may glorify thee." The way you pray is when you begin entering into the holiest of all, you have that promise. You have his will. You have his will. "Lord, you have already been glorified. You sit at the right hand of the Father. You have been reinstated as the firstborn, the heir of all things, and you sit and ever liveth to make intercession for me. Now glorify the Father to me. Show me the Father. Glorify the Father. Bring me to where you are." Those are promises you can keep. Amen. Those are prayed promises. That's more than just a promise. That was a prayed up promise. I mean, the Lord prayed that on your behalf. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So, with that, I want to move on down now to verse 8. He says, "For I have given them the words which you gavest me." Now, when he said this, he's specifically talking about the words of the upper room. He's specifically talking about the latter half of John 13, John 14, John 15, John 16, and now he's praying concerning what he just released to them. These are the words he's specifically talking about. He says, "I've given them the words that you gave me." Now understand, he's in the upper room praying. There's 11 disciples. That's it. There's 11 there. He's praying to the Father. He says, "I have given them the words, Father, that you gave me. These words that you gave me." Now who gave the words? Who gave the words? Who spoke the words? Jesus, who gave the words. Whose will was it? The Father gave John 14, 15, 16, and 17 to us. He gave those words from his heart. He released those words from his heart through the Son. He released those words, and now Jesus is praying, "Father, I gave them the words that you gave me to give them." You think it's the Father's will for you to be with him? and they have received them. See, that's a huge thing. You have to receive these words. Look at your neighbor and say, receive. You have to receive. Now, listen, in your progression and pursuit of the Father and to move into these realms, you're not going to feel lovely all the time. You're going to feel lovely when you get to the Father, because He's nothing but love. He is 100,000% love. That's all He is. He's everything. He's everything. But all I know Him now is love. I mean, and he's intense with His love. There's no love on the earth like the Father's love in heaven, but He wants all that to come here, but it's intense. Amen. The Father loves us with an intensity, an intense love. He says, I've given them your words and they've received them, but you have to receive the words. It's not what you feel about the situation. It's not how you feel, either unworthy or condemnation or shame or I'm never going to get there. That's not how you're going to get there. You have to receive these words and agree with them, regardless of how you feel. That's why it takes faith. God requires faith. He that cometh to God must first believe that He is. And then He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He'll reward your faith. But you have to agree. They've received these words. You have to agree. I agree that it is your will for me to be with you where you are. I agree that I can dwell with you where you are. Amen. Your first initiation, these things, it's like Victoria said, it's not that hard. I was making it more difficult. It's because she's agreeing. Because she knows, she understands. And once you start getting revelation, I've been saying that it's not as hard as you think it is, but you gotta have revelation. You gotta know how it works. Amen. Once you know how something works, you can access. So they received, and it starts with receiving. Receiving. Say receive. They've known surely that I have come out from thee, Father, and they have believed that you did send me. Now, he's going to say something very powerful in verse 11 here. I want you to capture this. Now, you have to understand, he's going to take them from where they are. He's going to shift them to where they're going. And then he's going to shift them again to the next level. There are three shifts in one prayer. Now, you have to understand, the Lord is already moved into the presence of the Father. Now, He's wanting to do is move them to a place they hadn't even gone yet. But He's going to move them by His faith. He's going to move them to where He is by faith. Watch this. It's amazing in His prayer, because He is not only praying for them, He is carrying them with Him. Do you know you can carry people in the Spirit? You can hold people in the Spirit. You can carry them. You can carry them. You can hold them. And that's what He did. Now watch what happens here. Very powerful. Verse 11. I'm praying every day. I mean, when you're dwelling in there, just, Father, bring the whole body here. I'll just hold the whole body in the presence of the Father. So bring them all into this dwelling room, Father. We must move in corporately. Amen. It's not a one person thing. It's a corporate thing God's doing. Amen. Okay. Let's watch verse 11. He says, and now I am no more in the world. Could you imagine his disciples hearing him say that? I imagine he did that to them often, but he's praying. They're gathered around. They're in a prayer meeting and he says, Father, I'm no longer in the world. I imagine one of them looked up and said, did he just say that? John, you're closest to asking what he meant by that. He just said, I'm not of this world. But he's already leaving. Notice what the reason why he said that, I am not of this world, he just didn't say it. He's already moving into where he knows he's going. See, that's the thing about faith. People don't understand about faith. God will show you the end from the beginning. God will show you the next level. And you can't move to a level you can't see. Amen. If all you do is just walk by sight all the time, you're just waiting for the next thing and you're dealing with stuff as it hits you. But faith sees the unseen. And once it sees it, see, he sees the unseen. So he's already moving to the next level. What is his next level? The cross. the burial, the resurrection, seated at the right hand of the Father. So what he's saying is, Father, I'm no longer of this world. He's already moving into his position of being glorified in the Father. Even though he hadn't left the earth yet, in his spirit he's moving. You got to constantly be moving. Amen. If you're not moving, you're stuck. And if you're stuck, you're going to have green muck. You know what I mean by that? You ever seen a pond in Texas that doesn't flow? It gets covered over with green muck. If you're stuck, you're going to have green muck. If you flow, it's because you're on the go. Amen. That's about the best I can do. Now I am no more in the world, Father. Now notice this. He acknowledges where they are. He says, but these are in the world. These, I'm not in the world, but these are in the world. I could just imagine with his disciples. He goes, but I come to thee now. You see, he's already moving to his next level. He knew how to do this. He wants us to learn how to do this. You cannot move to a place you cannot see. And in the kingdom, the word gives you the capacity to see. We see by the word. Do not trust your vain imaginations. See through the word. You'll always end up in the right place. Amen. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom you've given me. They may be one. Now he starts to introduce this concept of they may be one as we are one. Now, a lot of people preach that, you know, we're all going to come into unity, but that's not the oneness he's talking about. He'll actually describe what he means by that oneness. He does want unity. How good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell with unity. I've had both. We're in a unified church right now, but I've been in the divisive thing too. I like the unity. Amen. Everyone say how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together, but that's not the kind of unity he's talking about. We'll see that in a minute. He goes, I was with him in the world. I kept him through thy name. Now drop down to verse 13. What did he say in verse 11? Verse 11, he says, I'm no longer the world, but these are in the world. Now watch this. He positioned himself so he could position them. Understand, when you pray, you got to get positioned before you position something else. If you're not in position, how are you going to position something else? How are you going to ask God to position something when you can't get in position? He gets in position, then he positions them. Did you get that? That's powerful. When you learn these concepts of prayer, that's what the Father's teaching me, how to position. Oh, glory to God. Along with everything else he's doing. Did I tell you he's intense? He's intense. He won't relent until he has it all. Verse 13. And now. I come to thee. He's talking to his Father. I come to thee, Father. And these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Do you know what he means by that? You should know by now. Do you know what he means actually by that? He's not talking about just joy. You know, go to the joy bubble at your belly. That's not what he's talking about there. Although that's the end result of it. He goes, Father, I'm speaking these words to them before I leave so they can enjoy the same fellowship that I have with you. The joy that I have with you, I'm going to give to them. And you're going to love them the way you love me. And my joy that I have with you, Father, is going to be fulfilled in them now. That's what he meant by that. Oh, we give God glory for that. That's awesome. I have that all the time. I mean, when you get in the Father's love, it's going to bust out in joy. He said, now, these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled. Now, watch this, verse 14. I've given them thy word. He keeps saying this. I've given them your word, Father. I've given them. And these things I speak. He goes, I've given them the word. Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. Now, notice this. Look at this. What did he say in verse 13? Now I come to thee, Father. What did he say in verse 11? These are in the world. Look at verse 14. I have given them thy word. The world has hated them because what? They are not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. Do you see what he just did? He shifted them. Why is he doing that? Because he's praying a prayer that the Father's going to answer. He didn't leave those 11 to themselves. that final night, he got positioned in his father, and he prayed a prayer that he knew the father was going to answer. And he had to get them. He acknowledged where they were. He said, Father, I'm no longer of the world. He's moved on. They're of the world. And the time he gets to verse 14, notice what he goes. They are not of the world anymore. What do you think he's doing? He's moving them to the next level. Even to they, those guys didn't have a clue of what he was talking about. They didn't have a clue, but he was already shifting them to the next level. They're not of this world now. I'm bringing them into you now, Father. I'm bringing them to where I dwell. I'm bringing them into our dwelling place that's not of this world. You see that? Isn't that amazing? He's praying for them, and they don't know what he's doing, but he knows exactly what he's doing because he's leaving the final prayer on the table for the Father to answer after he's gone. Aren't you glad he left that prayer? Because guess what? He's still praying that for you. You may be of the world, but in God's eyes, you're not of the world. You may be in the world, but you're not of it. God's going to shift us into the glory, into the Father. Isn't that glorious? Because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Verse 16, he says it again. Look at that. He says, they are not of the world, Father, even as I'm not of the world. Then he tells you how he's going to do it. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. You know what sanctify means? So everyone thinks, well, okay, he's going to bring his word and he's going to perfect me. No, no, it means set apart. Set them apart unto you. They're not of this world. Now, Father, he's asking. He already decreed they're not of this world. He already shifted them. Now he's praying exactly how the Father's going to do it. Do you see this? These words that I've given them, thy word is truth. Set them apart unto yourself. Set them apart from the world. Bring them to where you are, Father, by these words, by this truth. Aren't you glad the Father answered that prayer? That's how they found it. Do you know the whole early church was dwelling in this realm? Because the Lord prayed this before he left. And the Father honored that prayer. And he got the 11 in there. And then everybody that got born again, he got them in there. They were all dwelling. They all knew this. That's where their power came from. Isn't that glorious? Watch happens. Say verse 11, they're of the world. Verse 14, they're not of the world. What's next? Verse 18, send them to the world. They hadn't even left yet, and Jesus has already shifted them three times. They don't even know what he's praying. He's already moved them three times. But watch what you say when you give your life to the Lord, because they were his. He said, these are mine, and all that's mine is yours, Father. And since what's mine is yours, I'm going to pray some stuff. Because they done gave their life to follow me. And what's mine is yours, Father. And because it's yours, we're going to take them out of the world. We're going to sanctify them and set them apart. And then we're going to send them back. We're going to do all that tonight before I leave. Because once I pray it, it's done. He left that prayer. And he left it for you. He left it for everybody in any generation that understands it. Look at that verse 18. Isn't that powerful? As you've sent me in the world, Father, even so have I also sent them into the world. He's not talking about them sending them out two by two. He's talking about when he's going to ordain them at his resurrection. He's talking about weeks in front when he's resurrected and he ordains them. He's going to bring them in the Father and then send them. You see that? You see the progression? You come out, you come in, you go back. He said it like this in John 14, so powerful. He says, if a man will keep my words, my Father will love him because these words will bring you to where I'm dwelling in the Father. My Father will initiate unconditional love and begin the transformation, the transfiguration. And then my Father and I will come and dwell with you in the earth. We will send you and come and dwell with you. It's just glorious. That's what's next. That's what's next. How long? I don't have a clue. I'm having so much fun right now. I just, whatever he wants to do. I can't wait to wake up tomorrow and just do it all over again. That's pretty good when you live 18 years miserable in ministry. There's so many people that are in ministry. They live their life and they can't wait to get in and they can't wait to get out. Because they're bearing the burden of that thing every day and they don't know how to dwell in these realms. And it's just constantly, 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 constantly on top of them. When you start dwelling in this place, you start falling in love all over again. Hallelujah. It's all well. You're going to have his joy in your life. Amen. You're happy because you're with him. I like being with him. And whatever else is fine with me, but right now, I just like being with him. He's a whole lot more funner than anything in this world, I'll tell you right now. One of the amazing things about him is his gentleness. It's just amazing when he embraces you. The way the Father can embrace you in the warmth of his gentleness. There's nothing like that I found in the earth. Nowhere, no how. Just to have that embrace, to feel the security of his embrace like that. When he holds you and all fear is gone, all apprehensions is gone, all care is gone, and you're just there. And to have him do that over and over and over again until you want no more. There's no price tag anywhere in this earth that can compare to that. Nothing can compare to the Father's embrace. The great love of the Father. Whew, the Lord knew it. He dwelt with the Father for eternity. It's why he came to introduce you to that. He even said it, the Father's greater than I am. He reserves the best for the last. Verse 20 through 26 is without doubt some of the most finest words in the entire Bible. He actually prays the prayer twice. If you know how to meditate this, he's going to say the same thing twice. I don't know why he did it, but he's going to pray the exact same thing twice. Amen. So I want you to look at these and then we'll close with this. Glory to God. This is the prayer of oneness. These, you need this in your heart. You need these verses. If you need to know, this is what got Victoria got in on. This is what she got on. These words right here will get you to the Father. Amen. Okay. So listen, he's praying now. Verse 21. Verse 21 and 22 is the first time he prays and he's going to pray it again. The second time, and I'll show you what I mean by that, and then we'll close. We're closing with these verses. However long it takes me to do these verses, that's it. Praise the Lord. When you get these verses, you're going to get it. All right? So they all may be one. Now he's going to describe the oneness now. He says it again, Father, I pray they all may be one. He's going to describe what he's talking about in the oneness. He's talking about the oneness he and the Father has. As thou, Father, art in me, or you can say it like this, Father, as you dwell in me and I dwell in you, they also may be one in us now. They may come to dwell in us in the same way that we dwell in union. He started this off in 14. It's not I'm that doing this, my Father that dwelleth in me that's doing this. Now he's saying, I'm going to give you this place now. That they, now notice how he says, notice the first thing he says, Father, that you dwell in me and I am in you and they're in us. See the first phase? What's the first phase? We're in them where they are. He says, Father, is I dwell in you and you dwell in me. They will dwell in me where I am in you. He's not talking about the earthly jurisdiction right now. He's talking about you called out to come up to where they are, to dwell in them. Amen. You see that? The oneness. And now watch this, verse 22. Now he calls it the glory. People don't understand this. This glory he's speaking of is specifically relating to oneness. He's giving you the oneness that he has with the Father. He's going to give you his position. He is the firstborn. He's going to share his position with the Father with you. You got to know that. Got to believe it. Got to receive it. Got to believe it. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, gotta. Amen. And the glory that you've gavest me, Father, I have given them that they may be one even as we are one. Now what's he saying? Now what's he, first he describes his father's, I'm in you and you're in me and they're going to be in us. Now watch what he says. He shifts it. Now it says, now he says, in the glory you've given me, I've given them that I will be in them. Say, I will be in them and Father, you'll be in me. See how he's now shifting to here now. I'm going to be in them in the earth and you will be in me. He said that in John 14. If you'll keep my words, my Father will love you. And then me and my Father will come and dwell with you in the earth. You see that? So first he's saying you're in them and then he's saying they will be in you. You see the oneness? All of that is the glory that he's given to us to be one with the Father where he is and for the Father to come and dwell with us. And listen, this world is going to see the Father dwelling in the sons of God in the last days. Right now, they don't see that. They see the church that says God loves you. But the Father's going to dwell with his people in this hour. And power and glory is coming with glory and power. And the Father's not going to just say, I love you. He's going to show them his love through his people in this hour. With signs, miracles, and wonders that haven't been seen in this generation. Not a consistent basis. You're going to see it and his whole body is going to reflect this. They're going to come and dwell with us. You see, he's prayed that for them. They obtained it and we will obtain it. We're one with them. You're going to have the glory of oneness. You can't get there without him giving you that. He gave that to you by grace. It was given to you by grace. You cannot work for it. You cannot earn it. You can never be good enough for it. It is by grace. And the only way you're going to access it consistently is by faith. And agree with what he said. You're not going to earn that place. He gave it to you. Look at your neighbor and say, he gave it. It's grace. That's why he didn't accept you just the way you are. If he accepted me the way I am, he will accept you. Trust me. He started loving me, and then love started commencing the changing. He started showing me. I mean, when love comes in, he doesn't deal with little fruits. He takes the tree and just starts ripping out trees. In the earth, we deal with the fruit. Okay, let's lop off this limb. Let's lop off. God just grabs the whole tree. Said, that is not of me. Yake! Tear! Love will start inspecting. Love will love you. You're going, oh, glory. And then God, that love will come in and just take the whole tree. I've never seen anything like it. He just takes whole trees and just takes them out. Now, so he prayed it. You see the prayer? Understand the prayer? He's praying it for you. Now he's going to repeat the prayer. But this time he added something so you would know. This is an amazing, amazing verse. Verse 24. Father, I will. Every one of you tonight will know his will. Whether you obtain it, access it or not, it's his will. And he prayed it for you. Father, I will that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am. In you, Father, I will that they in Houston Revival Center be with me where I am in you, Father, that they may behold my glory of oneness that I have with you, which you've given me. For you love me from the foundation of the world. You know, he's saying, Father, I want them to be with me where I am, where you will love them the way you love me. Now, God loves you, but he wanted to initiate and he wanted you to experience that same love that he had with the Father. Is that amazing? Everyone's got Jesus always like he's there and you're here. And but everything he did, he said, it's not I'm that doing it, it's my Father doing it. And I'm giving you what I have. When you believe that, you're going to go in. Something will shift in your belief system. And when you believe it, you'll just. Notice he says, Father, I will they be with me where I am. See, that's dwelling with him where he is. Now what's going to happen? He's going to close it out with them dwelling with you in the earth. And that's where we'll close. Pretty powerful prayer, isn't it? Oh, righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I've known thee. And these have known that you sent me. I have declared unto them thy name. I will declare it verse 26, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them and I in them. You see that? First he prays us there, then he says he's with us here. He finalizes, Father, I pray the love, all the love you've loved me with will be in them and I in them where they're at. See the love, we go there to be loved, then love comes to dwell. That's next. The Father dwelling with us in the earth. Not very far from that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you want to find access the Father? You want your ministry, your life, your business to explode? Access the Father. Every time these words are preached, every time you receive them and apply faith, you'll launch. More and more people are going to launch. Don't get left behind when they're launching. Everyone's launching. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. When you get them to the Father, you move very, very quickly. Love is on assignment. Pluck every tree that's not of us out. Every sycamine tree, every mountain to the mountains you were going to speak to, by the way, just FYI. Before you're going to speak to those out there, you're going to speak to the ones inside you. And the sycamine trees, they'll get all plucked up. I mean, if they're 50-year-old trees, they'll come out. I've never seen anything like it. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Father, thank you for your words, the prayers, the revelation, the understanding, the great love, Father. We just want to be more like you. We want to dwell. We want to be where you are, Lord. We want to dwell with you where you are. We want to be conformed to your image with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're changed in the same image from glory to glory. A perfected bride, a perfected people, ready to manifest the kingdom of God into the earth. We thank you, Father, for getting us ready, preparing us. Grant everyone in this house great grace to enter access. Grant the grace, the revelation, the inspiration, the compass. Hone everyone's faith into entering into where you are, Lord. Help us. Help us.